Well, this is an announcement that will disappoint children across the country. The world is running out of helium. And it's an issue that goes actually far beyond the humble party balloon. Because helium plays a key role in medical technology, in rocket launching, in superfast trains, nuclear reactors. Once it's used, though, the gas disappears into the atmosphere, making it difficult to recapture. Today, the CSIRO and Macquarie University in Sydney will open a new facility designed to recycle helium. Dr. Cathy Foley is the CSIRO's Chief of Materials Science and Engineering. Cathy Foley, welcome back to Breakfast.
Hi, Fran.
Cathy, helium is mined like a gas. Why are supplies low? Can't the world just mine more helium?
Well, helium is a byproduct of fossil fuel production. And as a consequence of natural deposits, which actually contain sufficient helium that can be extracted, because it's only about somewhere between 8% on a really good deposit, 0.3% is still a viable extraction.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about 15 places in the world where the extraction is being done and the outcome is turning into helium. But the main issue has to do with, in the USA, there's a federal reserve which has been sort of artificially lowering the price of helium for some time. And this is going to come to an end probably in September when they've repaid a debt that they created since 1925 when it was first set up. And that will increase the price of helium to about 10 times what it currently is. So your $3.50 helium balloon will suddenly become $35.
Yeah, which kind of prices those balloons out of the market for most of us. But this US story, this government stockpile, I'd had no idea of this. Apparently, the US government started stockpiling helium during the First World War, or just after it, in a response to Germany's build-up of inflatable airships, the Zeppelin.
That's correct. Dirigibles, or you know, those floating balloons, were something that was seen as a viable potential aircraft which could be used for military purposes. And so they started stockpiling this, what they called strategic resource. And by 1960, they actually set up, in the Bureau of Mines, a way of stockpiling this. And unfortunately, though, eventually they stockpiled all this, huge amounts of it, of the helium, and then interest sort of waned. And so by 1995, they'd set up this $1.3 billion hole and a deficit. So they were required to privatise and create, they gave themselves until 2015 to sell the stockpile, which is why the price is artificially low. And then and they've been very successful because, of course, in recent times, helium has become absolutely critical to just about everything from the ability to make optical fibre, for example, needs helium gas.
Just tell us a little more about that, Cathy, the uses for helium beyond the balloon, because I have to confess I only knew about helium in relation to balloons, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, it's actually quite pervasive. So every time you get an MRI measurement to look at whether, you know, your diagnosis for cancers or just looking at your body and how it's formed, is dependent on liquid helium, which cools the superconducting magnets that allows you to create these very large magnetic fields. So that's one area. The other is, as I mentioned before, in many electronics productions, they actually require helium, liquid helium again, to be able to provide either, you know, sort of a process which allows you to get the minute size of the structures that are now part of our electronics, through to things like just having the gas, which because of its inert, it doesn't ignite. It's very light, that you're able to do things like draw optical fibres without little holes in it, which of course you wouldn't want. It's it can be used for it was used in space shuttles for when you're cleaning out the fuel cabinet. The problem with the tanks was that they had lingering oxygen in them, but you had to have something which was actually colder than the liquid oxygen, and so it was used as a cleaning fluid, believe it or not.
And so that's the point of it. It's super cold, and it's, as you say, it's inert, so it's a stable, super cold gas.
Well, it's only super cool when you cool it down or refrigerate it and bring it down to the minus 270 degrees, which is its liquid point. So, and to do that, you have to use a process which was developed just over 100 years ago in Leiden University, and that technique is still being used today, where you force a gas through a very small hole. It actually has a natural cooling effect. You know, when you blow on soup to cool it, if you do that now, you'll find it's the air is cool when you go, you know, to say make. Trying to clean a window or something in, or your glasses, you try to put sort of water vapor on them to give it some moisture. The same thing coming out of your mouth is warm, and that's the difference between that blowing through a pursed lips is actually forcing a gas through a small hole, and that surprisingly enough, due to the wonders of science and the way the nature works, cools any gas. And
Kathy,
so
that
we
is
can
a
use
wonderful...
that to make it into liquid.
That's a wonderful explanation. Thank you. It's 18 to 7 on breakfast. We're speaking with Dr. Kathy Foley, who's the Chief of Materials Science and Engineering at the CSIRO. Kathy, CSIRO and Macquarie University are about to launch this new facility to recycle helium. I guess with the price being so low historically, recycling really wasn't worth the money, but now it comes into its own. How do you recycle a gas, though?
Well, the first thing is you actually have it in a closed cycle. So you have pipes and storage bins that allow you to collect the boil-off. So just like when water boils, there's gas coming off. Helium boils, but just at a slightly lower temperature, and so somewhere like minus 200 degrees cooler. And then as it comes up, we collect it into these chambers, and then we purify it, then we compress it, and be able to go through this cryogenics process, which I described before, which allows you to, through using these cryo coolers, which are really only recently developed internationally, allows us to be able to more simply cool down the gases and then put it back into a chamber which has got just a liquid in it, and then it can be used again and go through this closed loop cycle.
And can be used again and again.
That's correct.
And does that mean the technology you're working on with Macquarie is only for basically small-scale on-site recycling, that every hospital that used it or university that used it or whatever facility is that's using it would need to have this recycling technology?
Basically, yes. The recycling has been around for some time. So, for example, the laboratory I work in Sydney, it's been collecting helium from all around the laboratory through a collection of pipes, and again, that same process. But it's a very big and complicated process which requires specialist facilities and specialist operators. This new approach, which is this compact, relatively speaking, way, is simpler and allows you to have people who aren't necessarily absolute experts to be able to manage the re-liquefaction process. Mm. And also, in many places like MRI machines, they do have inbuilt recycling processes, like sort of closed loop processes. And that's something which has been built up over time, just because even though helium is currently artificially low in price, it's still, if you're using bucket loads and hundreds of litres a week, it's still very expensive, and so they need to do that to keep the price down.
Party shops around the world are hoping you get this right, Kathy. Thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Dr. Kathy Foley, the CSIRO's Chief of Material Science and Engineering, and today CSIRO and Macquarie University will open this new facility recycling helium. It's 16 minutes to 7 on Breakfast.